Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mornings with the Outlaw and Alex Shawshank. Might as well say that from the beginning here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am the Outlaw, John Rocha, joined as always by that lady I just mentioned over there, Alex Shawshank. How are you, Alex? How are things?
I'm pretty damn dapper. That's what I'm doing. How are you doing, John?
I'm good. Just getting things ready for the birthday tomorrow. Apparently, there's a lot of things going on, so it's going to be fun. And we got a birthday weekend planned, apparently. So last night, we stayed up late just hanging out, talking, and just doing our thing. And so I woke up a little groggy, but I'm awake. I'm ready to go. I'm excited to talk about things for sure. Alex, how was last night? How was the debates last night? Was it fun?
It was really fun. It was pretty spectacular. It was between with reactors that are involved, and it was actually a clean sweep, which really happens. And I was just like wham bam. And some of the answers that were presented that were like, for example, which Modern competitor would be most likely to survive a horror franchise? And they chose Video Drew and Clark Wolf. And my first thought was, hello, Perry Nemiroff. Hello.
Right. I mean, that would be my first choice. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, they definitely had a little bit of uphill battle to climb for sure.
You think, I don't know if Video Drew would survive a horror. Like, do you mean a horror actual scenario or a horror free for all?
Oh, no, like a horror scenario, like a horror movie franchise.
Yeah, no.
They argued in favor of, she has like demonic powers and she has a lot of manipulation. She has like this like puppeteer situation going on where she can end up like somehow manipulating the villain to do her bidding. And she would, by definition, be a survivor at the end of the movie. So that was like what was presented.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
And his argument. So I'm like, okay, that's technically they're surviving. So that's definitely an approach, not the traditional like final girl situation. But
right.
Yeah.
All right. Got to respect it. I appreciate that very much. All right. Well, we're going to get into some entertainment news today. We're talking about a lot of stuff that's going on in the world here that's dropped over the last few hours and a little bit yesterday as well. And of course, the Streamlabs and Super Chats are how we keep this Mornings with the Outlaw show going. So please send them in. You got the address right above Alex's head. Or if you want to go into the description, you can see the Streamlabs address there. Send in Super Chats as well. But Super Chats, they take 30%. So we prefer you doing through Streamlabs. But, Super Chats are fine as well if that's all you can manage to do. All right. Let's get into things. Our first subject here today is this Miles Morales video that supposedly dropped and was taken down really quickly. Alex, you sent me this thing and I just was like, what is happening here with this? The Miles Morales video is a now deleted video. According to MovieWeb, they have, quote, the two-part video begins with a young African-American man out delivering food for what appeared to be his parents' restaurant. The young man is stopped by the NYPD because he is wearing some sort of Spider-Man gear. When questioned by police, he states he's a fan of Spidey, but it's clear that in whatever universe this takes place, being a fan of Spidey is not okay. It's supposed to be taking place, according to the video, in an alternate universe that's inhabited by the MCU's Peter Parker, played by Tom Holland, and it's supposed to be fitting into Spider-Man 3. And it is worth noting, however, that traditionally Miles Morales' parents do not own a restaurant. His father is a cop, his mother is a nurse, as we saw in Into the Spider-Verse. And it keeps going. The second part of the video sees the young man first in a conversation with his father, then his cousin possibly, when talking to the second person, a breaking news report airs on TV indicating that the costumed hero Spider-Man has been found dead at a museum. This is not the first time we've heard some rumors about Miles Morales being a part of Spider-Man 3 or possibly coming into a live-action version. Certainly, we had Donald Glover, who is essentially playing Miles Morales' uncle in that scene with Tom Holland, Spider-Man. We've seen, obviously, Miles Morales in Into the Spider-Verse, and Miles Morales will be part of the PS5 version of Spider-Man that's coming out as well. So certainly, they're moving forward with this. There's a deleted scene in 2017 Spider-Man Homecoming where Miles exists somewhere in the MCU. So they took this thing down. Jamie Foxx's Electro, which is from Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, is coming into this thing. We've already seen J. Jonah Jameson come into this thing in the last Spider-Man movie. And, of course, Doctor Strange rolling into this right after Multiverse of Madness and WandaVision. So tell me, what? And, of course, the Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield stuff. So do you think if this is true and they took it down, so who knows if they did it to hype it up or it really was leaked and they had to yank it down, do you think we're getting to that point where we're putting too many people inside of a movie? Or do you like this idea that Miles Morales could be presented in the movie?
I never thought I'd say this because I'm definitely a person when it comes to movie content, whether it be superhero movies or characters. To me, more is more. You know, yeah. it's getting a little much overall, and it's just there's a lot going on, right, and right. And I personally wasn't a huge. I preferred the first. Spider-Man the first one over Far From Home personally, I wasn't a fan of all that much. You know, I thought I was like, Jake Gyllenhaal, he's wonderful and everything he's in, and I was no exception, but wasn't my favorite. So if I were ranking the MCU movies, but overall, there are some aspects that I like. You know, Joe Jameson, obviously. Like you said, oh my gosh, he is perfect in everything. J.K. Simmons is perfect in everything, but especially in that role. He's clearly having so much fun with it. You know, the thing is, I would love Miles Morales to come in. However, I think, I believe his character should be more than just a potential scene, you know, more than that. You know, I feel like it definitely could be the potential for like an actual full-fledged movie. You know, this is definitely not the introduction to the Miles Morales character in the film franchise that I would have preferred to see. I would actually something a little more legitimate, you know, versus just a potential cutscene that we don't know if it's like even real, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. At the end of the day, Alex, we don't know if it's even real. We don't know what the situation is. And, you know, we've seen this before where they leak things and claim that they had no idea and whatever. And it's usually most of the time when they leak, quote unquote, leak this stuff, it's just to kind of run it up the flagpole and see what the reaction is and see or to get people like super excited with this possibility that this is Miles Morales. It could appear with the multiverse type of situation. It hypes up your movie. And even if it's not true, it still keeps the movie in people's minds, you know? And of course, we've been hearing about Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming into this franchise with Spider-Man 3 as well. So why not have a Miles Morales? Do we think, I start to worry about like, well, will this be enough? Will this be too much? Are they pushing the boundaries? And of course, people's complaints about Tom Holland Spider-Man, which I hear in our chat sometimes, is why won't they let him just have his own Spider-Man movie? Once again, here he is in this situation where they have to bring in Andrew Garfield, where they have to bring in Tobey Maguire. Are they going to bring in Miles Morales? Are they bringing in all the Sinister Six? So it's a lot for him to take on, and it kind of moves the idea, or kind of, I don't know, clouds the idea of it being a Tom Holland-led Spider-Man movie. You know, I push back because Homecoming was pretty much his story. And yes, Tony Stark was helping and guiding him, but overall it was his story. But they just can't. Their argument is we just can't get one film where it's just Tom Holland as Spider-Man fighting against a villain, and that's the whole movie with no one else coming in to help. So what do you think about that?
Well, thing is, no MCU is just them. Honestly, true. No MCU, like, you know, any Thor film, any Iron Man movie, any MCU movie is never, unless it's just the first Iron Man or the first Thor, is just that character, obviously. You know, there's cameos from other, you know, potential lead-ins, you know, things like that. But I definitely understand that perspective. I mean, I think this could be, hypothetically, if it is real, I think the best case scenario is that this could be like an after-cut scene that was accidentally released. This could be like a feeler, seeing what people's reactions. And if that's the case, that's awesome. I would love for that to be the case. Yeah. And, you know, this, it could be a feeler. It could be like a deleted scene or something after the credits, and then they're going to be, who knows, in maybe a year or two, they're going to make a really big announcement, you know, for Miles Morales. Maybe we don't really see his face, but, you know, we just see a shadow. I don't know. We're stretching it right now. We're grasping at straws. So this is all completely hypothetical. We don't even know if it's technically real or not. Right. You know, but thing is, you know, Miles Morales, you know, he's definitely one of more, you know, popular Spider-Mans we have in general. And, you know, Into the Spider-Verse, it just showed how amazing, you know, it could be. Yeah. And the thing is, how can you beat Into the Spider-Verse? Honestly, like realistically, like, to me, it's impossible to beat Into the Spider-Verse. That's my favorite Spider-Man movie. So, it's rough.
It's tough. Here's a picture from the video. Obviously, this is the only thing that's out there right now. I think they took it down completely from everywhere. I'm sure if you go trolling through the dark web, not that I advise you do that, you could probably find the actual video. But here's a picture of the video with that little play sign on it. That's the screen grab. So the guy apparently, according to the person who tweeted this out, at underscore Charles Murphy, Charles Daywalker Murphy is the founder of Murphy's Multiverse. This is the picture of an actor who's 22 years old, so a little bit younger than Tom Holland. And certainly you got the black and red combo here for Miles Morales. So could be very interesting to see if it's true. I like the look of this guy. You know, it's a good looking Miles Morales, and it fits the vibe possibly of Spider-Man 3. So who knows? It could be fun. But I get worried, you know, when it's ironic because Spider-Man 3 movie that Sam Raimi did was chock full of people, and it became too much. And ended up becoming something that sank that franchise until the Andrew Garfield one came along. So to me, I get worried and concerned that we're putting too many things inside this. We're trying to launch too many things at once. And I worry how they're going to make that all work. Because don't forget, Morbius is doing his thing. Spider-Man is featured, not necessarily in it, possibly, but certainly featured on that wall painting from the trailer. And we got Michael Keaton being involved. So there's a lot going on that side. So you throw all this stuff in Spider-Man. So it's just a lot to think about. And I wonder if they'll get it right, because it could be a lot of expectations.
It's definitely very difficult, if not impossible, to get everyone on their side, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just impossible, especially when it comes to a comic book franchise, which people have such big opinions and hopes for, obviously. Yeah. We hope for every comic book movie to succeed, you know. But also, you can't forget that, you know, a lot of people had a lot of those same thoughts about, you know, Avengers. You know, how are we going to make highlight all these heroes to be amazing? True. Like, how can we make that succeed? And it did amazing, you know. We haven't, you know, sure, absolutely, you're completely justified with, you know, Spider-Man 3. Woof. That's rough. It's pretty bad. But also, I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of not to mention, this is also an MCU property. You know, and so if they're gonna make a movie with a lot of villains like they have in the past with Avengers or Infinity War or heck, Thor Ragnarok, which had quite a few, you know, villainous characters. You know, I do think the MCU is like definitely the people that I think can succeed with that. So that's why I'm a little more confident in the MCU taking on these more characters, a lot of these more villains and side characters as well.
That's fair. That's fair. Lewis Cox says, good morning, John and Alex. Sent in a quick super chat. Thank you very much, Lewis Cox.
From the UK.
From the UK. Right on. Yeah, thanks for the pounds. Just a pounce. Someone, Xavier White, says, take that hat off. No. I'm not.
No, don't do it. No.
Games this weekend. I'm not taking the hat off. Ben Rayner says, good morning, Roka and Alex. Do you have an underrated movie score? One that's not talked about enough. For me, I feel like the score for Hook is extremely underrated. So is the Harry Potter score. Curious to hear your thoughts. I don't know if the Harry Potter score is necessarily underrated, Ben. I think people love the Harry Potter score and talk about it all the time. And certainly when I was working at the Harry Potter Land for a couple of years, that score was constantly being played 24/7 at that land. Even when we closed the park, the score would keep going through the night. That's kind of how they did things. So I don't know but I hear you on Hook. Not a lot of people talk about the score from Hook, the Steven Spielberg movie. Well, what about you, Alex? Do you have an underrated score that you think deserves a little more attention?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of packing yesterday, and I was listening to one of my favorite scores of all time by Jan Tiersen. He's a French composer. And for the score to Amelie, you know, the French movie Audrey Tautou. Oh, it's so beautiful. I just listened to the entire thing on repeat. It's stunning. I love it. It's so fair. It's so French. So French.
So Francais. That's one of Kate Mulligan's favorite scores as well. She mentioned it actually, I think yesterday or Monday on SCN Live, that's one of those scores she comes back to all the time. She loves it madly. Mm-hmm. So you've got a kinship there with her on that. I would throw the Missions score in there. Ennio Morricone is known for so many films and scoring so many, but not too many people talk about the score for The Mission, which is one of these absolutely heartbreaking, tragic scores that immediately puts you in the vibe of loss. And it's so painful to listen to as it, because it evokes it so well. Yet it's beautiful and haunting. So, I mean, I can't recommend it enough. Just listen to the suite, S-U-I-T-E. Listen to the suite and you'll get a vibe of what I'm talking about with that score. It's just incredible, incredible stuff. One of the rare scores that I actually bought as a CD, because I rarely buy scores, but it's one of those ones that I bought very young in my life as a CD because I had to have it, you know. So let's see. Was there some people put in here? I love the Persona 5 original soundtrack. There's the and the score from the video game Journey. No, I don't even know the video game name Journey. I don't even know what that moves or what that means, to be honest with you. So I have no idea. Andrew G says Hook is incredible. And there you go. All right. There we go. All right. Jim Williams score for Raw. Oh, I didn't see Raw. That
horror film. Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yo. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, okay. Raw is fantastic. Raw is fantastic. That score. I forgot about the score. That now that's a perfect example of a really, you know, underused and under talked about, you know, a score overall. As far as like horror movies goes, oh my gosh, you can really F up a movie, you know, with score, but you can really do so, you can add so much with a really great score in that movie.
All right. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it. All right, there we go. Fury Road. Yeah, Fury Road's a great score as well. Thanks. That, you know, that's so a fantastic suggestion. All right, let's move on to our next subject here. Please keep sending in to Streamlabs and Super Chats as we go along here on the Mornings of the Outlaw show. What we have next for ourselves here is Raya and the Last Dragon trailer. My God, Alex, I got a chance to watch this, and we talked about it on the Geek Buddies yesterday because it had just dropped before we started doing the show. What a fantastic trailer. Really enjoyed the hell out of this thing. Great adventurous vibe to it. Love that tuk-tuk animal, the armadillo there, and really enjoyed hearing Kelly Marie Tran's voice coming out of the main character of Raya. A lot of good people involved with this one. People who've done Big Hero 6, co-directed Moana, people who directed Crazy Rich Asians, people who wrote Crazy Rich Asians. So we're getting Asian people working, or it was a Latino director, but the Asian writer who did Crazy Rich Asians working on an Asian animated story here. So that bodes well, I think, in my opinion. I think it's a fantastic job to do that. But overall, love the look of the animation. Had a little bit of that Legend of Korra, had a little bit of that Raiders of the Lost Ark, had a little bit of that even Uncharted vibe, which I really enjoyed. So what did you think about the trailer overall? Did you love it or did you think it was okay?
I really, really enjoyed it. You know, a lot of the people behind the scenes that I really, really love. You know, I don't think Crazy Rich Asians is the best thing since sliced cheese. That's happened to you. Like, you know, I think it's like a really, it's a fun rom-com. It's the most formulaic thing on the planet, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh. Also, my James Bond is in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Henry Golding is my future. That's right. He's my James Bond. James Bond 2021. But yeah, so I definitely think, you know, watching this trailer, I think it's visually absolutely stunning. I also don't really know what's happening. She's trying to steal stones. She's trying to find the last dragon, but I don't know why. You know, what is the purpose? Is she trying to unite her people? Is she trying to use it as a form of defense? You know, she's talking about how there's like tribes kind of they're definitely dividing and they're definitely, a lot of them are kind of warring with each other. So what's her tribe? You know, what's the situation going on where she needs to find the last dragon? Also, what's up with the dragons? We didn't see a dragon, by the way. So, you know, a little too much hype for a movie with no dragons. Just pointing that out there.
No, you're not wrong. We did not see a dragon. You're not wrong about that. So, yeah, certainly an interesting situation there to look at. But, I mean, the idea that she has to find the right dragon, or the last dragon, rather, to save her country and bring it together, because it's a country that's been split up, and this is going to help that happen, I think is a very interesting thing to explore for sure in the film. I really enjoyed some of the music too. It was kind of nice to see that in the film as well. And this one is coming out next March, supposedly at this point is what they're saying. I mean, fingers crossed and all of that, but that's supposedly what they're saying. Do you believe it'll be coming out next March, or do you think it's like, we'll see what happens? It's all up in the air right now.
Whenever I hear a release date, I'm like, that's a whatever date. That's not real. It's just like when, remember when, you know, the Batman, you know, trailer dropped and it said like a question/question/question. That's the release date for every single movie that's being released, you know, essentially, you know, and, you know, and just because this is a Disney animated feature does not mean that I can't say with total confidence, hey, they're dropping it on streaming. Hey, they're not. It's going to be video on demand. It's going to be Disney Plus, or heck, they are going to save it for the big theaters. I don't know. So I have no confidence in release dates anymore. It's all flexible.
Yeah. And not only did we not get a dragon, we also didn't see the villain that she's going to be fighting. Obviously, we saw her, you know, progress in age in the trailer, and she's been training on her martial arts for all those years. So certainly that's going to come in handy for the things that she's going to do. So we shall see. I mean, the synopsis says, long ago in the fantasy world of Kumandra, humans and dragons lived together in harmony, but when an evil force threatened the land, the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. So now, 500 years later, that same evil has returned, and it's up to a lone warrior, Raya, to track down the legendary last dragon to restore the fractured land and its divided people. However long her journey, she'll learn that it'll take more than a dragon to save the world. It's going to take trust and teamwork as well. So, you know, I like that. It's a very positive message. It seems kind of sweet, so I'm down.
Yeah, now that you kind of say it, kind of gives me some Studio Ghibli Valley of the Wind vibes, you know, which I'm really, really into. You know, last soldier, woman training her entire life to save species, unite a land. Yeah, I'm getting Studio Ghibli vibes. And now that you say it, I'm kind of liking this movie a little bit more. So thank you. Thank you for making that cohesive for me.
You know, I just like the vibe of it. There's apparently a leaked image of the dragon, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to put it up if I don't have verification of it. But I think it looks fantastic, and so it got me back in the mood of the idea of Disney's doing something new and interesting. So I'm down to see something like this from them. All right, let's take a look. See, we got any Streamlabs or Super Chats that have rolled through here? Nope, no Streamlabs or Super Chats yet. So let's move on to our next conversation here, and that is a conversation we're going to get into about the Joker for sure, and talking about the fact that the Joker is coming back to Zack Snyder's Justice League of all places. Jared Leto's Joker coming back here. I'm sorry. No, we got two Streamlabs to roll through. Let's do that first, then we'll jump into that. Andrew D. Donated. He said, do you think having a live-action Miles Morales would kind of take the spotlight away from the animated Miles Morales we've all come to love in Spider-Verse? Personally, I don't think we should get that until we've had quite a few more outings with Peter Parker in the MCU. Yeah, what do you think, Alex? Do you think it'll take away from the power of the Miles Morales character in the Spider-Verse movies? Because certainly he's coming back in the Spider-Verse movies in the sequel, and supposedly Spider-Gwen is going to come back as well. So what do you think about this?
That's actually a really, really great point that I have not thought about. Thank you so much for bringing it up, Andrew. I really appreciate it. Agreed. You know, something that I also kind of think is – I do think it would take the spotlight away from Peter Parker, but I think that's almost low-key kind of the point. This is not meant to be Miles Morales' you know, character. Like I said, this could be very well like a scene after the credits kind of situation. So it wouldn't really take anything away at all. It could be just a brief half a second kind of situation. But also, something that would be a little bothersome to me is that guy. I love him as Miles Morales. That's great and all, but he's supposed to be like he definitely looks older, or at least the same age as Tom Holland. Sure. And the whole dynamic and relationship between Tom Holland and between Spider-Man, Peter Parker, and Miles Morales is that he's working with him. He's training him. Yeah. Essentially, he's mentoring him, and so. You can mentor someone that's older, obviously. I mean, like, not too many people around that's going to be able to teach you to fling spider webs, But at the same time, it would be a very different dynamic than we've seen in the past. So I think it's with the two different versions of Miles Morales out there, I would definitely need them to be a very different interpretation of the character. Yeah. You know, in order to separate.
That's a fantastic point, Alex. The idea of like, okay, it's cool that you're going to have another Miles, but it would have to be different than the animated Miles. Yeah. Just like the animated Spider-Man is different than the live action Spider-Man. For sure. Yeah. Yuri Lowenthal, what Yuri's able to do in the, even the video game version of Spider-Man is different than what Tom Holland is doing in the live action version of Spider-Man. So yeah, you'd have some different interpretations. Lord knows that happens in the comic books. In the media for comic books all the time, you know, animated or video games or live action. So yeah. Interesting stuff for sure. All right. One last question from him before we move on to our big, big conversation. Tom Holland has been wonderful, but they got to let him carry his own picture. Enough with the mentors. Let him be his own Spider-Man, not Spider-Boy, getting help from other Avengers or other world Spideys. I think Far From Home set that up in the end. Let it happen. Yeah. What do you think, Alex? True? Yes?
No? I would like for, like you said, I would like for him to really stand on his own 2 feet in a movie without help.
Yep.
Excuse me. I think he definitely has the he definitely can do it successfully. It's just a matter of do we kind of want it, essentially.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, do we want it in the end? Mm-hmm. yeah very good point. All right, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think it's good to have a I don't mind the mentor thing. We all have mentors in our life. I don't care what age we're at. We all have mentors, whether they're our parents, whether they're our older friends, whether they're our family. We all have mentors in some way, shape, or form. Andrew G., I'm sure you still have a mentor in your in your pursuit of animation and the things you're doing. I'm sure there's someone you turn to for advice, or someone you turn to who's been in the business for a while who can help you through during moments where you have questions about where you want to go in your career or in your life. We all have them. And there's nothing wrong. It doesn't make you somehow lesser than or submissive or remove your power and your status. So just letting you know, just because you're the mentee of a mentor does not make you somehow lower than the person. And I think sometimes people get that twisted in their heads. All right. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, let's move on, as we said, to our big, big conversation here. Well, it's happening, Alex. It is happening. The Joker. It is Jared Leto. He is coming back as the Joker. This is crazy, crazy news coming out. This, and it's coming from the Hollywood Reporter. This dropped yesterday as things were happening. And so I am just absolutely 1,000% shocked this is happening. We've seen, of course, his Joker, Jared Leto's Joker, get so much crap. Here he is right there. Get so much crap from so many people over the years. A lot of people saying how he's not their favorite Joker. Then there was this really big groundswell of support for his Joker and pushing back on people's criticisms of his Joker, saying he didn't really get a chance to shine as the Joker. It was a terrible movie. He didn't get his chance to do his thing. Well, now he's coming back, apparently, in Zack Snyder's Justice League, which of course is insane, because they told us it was already shot and they just had to edit this thing together. Clearly, they are shooting new scenes, new action, new stuff completely for this 4-hour Justice League. Of course, it'll be 4 1-hour episodes, but 4 hours in essence of the Zack Snyder Justice League. So, A, tell me what your reaction was to this news, and B, do you want to see Jared Leto's Joker back?
I created a list of pros and cons.
Wow.
So here we have some pros.
Here we go.
Some cons. Okay. I have a lot of cons.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are some pros to this. Like you said, there is this, there are a lot of, there are some fans that actually came back, there was a lot of initial clapback about, at the Joker when Suicide Squad came out. There was a lot of, I feel like there was a lot of injustice given to his character, overall. So we never really saw the full potential of that Joker. And, Jared Leto, he's definitely one of the most reputable actors working today. He won an Oscar for best lead actor, obvious, or best supporting actor. I'm not sure, but
yeah, best supporting actor for Dallas Buyers.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Yes. But that being said, he has created an interesting interpretation of the Joker, obviously, with the tattoos and all that good stuff. He's definitely a millennial, version. Absolutely. But he didn't get a lot of screen time, and therefore he was, he was definitely made out to be a joke and in the Suicide Squad. We didn't really see anything come from it. He was just more like a background character, you know, to Harley Quinn's situation, because, but we loved Harley. Harley was all awesome. You know, so there's, again, there's a lot of cons to me. There's much more cons than pros, you know, storyline. Yeah. I think, like I said, underrepresented, we didn't get enough of him, all that good stuff, but he's definitely a problematic character. And he's also a very kind of a, he has a history of being very problematic on set as an actor.
Yeah.
He is a method actor. He has a history of sending dead rats and poison over to his co-stars, you know, and you know, just, you know what Justice League right now is, they definitely need some PR troubles to really distract from the whole situation they have going on right now with like Ray Fisher, Jeff Johns. And you know what we need? We need someone that's definitely not going to make it more problematic. And that's Jared Leto. So there's a, you know, there's kind of a lot to dive into.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in the fact that there were some issues, obviously, on the set, him sending some, you know, the black roses, some dead rats and stuff like that. That was really unsettling. He was really method. He was really into his place, you know, and maybe that's what he needed to do to get to the Joker. You know, Heath Ledger locked himself away in a hotel room for like, I think, 30, 60 or 90 days to really kind of go and bite. And he was completely by himself. And I would imagine because of the way he passed, he was using, mind altering substances and physically body altering substances to kind of explore and discover this character. And of course, that's not at the damage of anybody on the set. So he created that, and nobody has spoken ill of anything Heath Ledger did on the set when he was doing his Joker. Jack Nicholson had his own kind of Joker he put out there. And then, of course, Joaquin Phoenix doing his version of the Joker. Not too many people complaining about how Joaquin Phoenix was on the set when he was creating this Joker. So clearly there is an interesting way to look at this, in that actors have their own process to get to the places they need to get to create these characters. Mm-hmm. People who I don't know, I want to make sure I walk the line on this. People who don't, and I'm not excusing this kind of behavior. I want to make it very, very clear. I'm not excusing this kind of behavior. But I think we also have to know that this character is clearly something that taxes a lot of people. There is a pressure to create a good, incredible, great, unique version of this character. Even in the voiceover world, there is a lot of pushback and pressure and anger amongst the fans when you cast a certain voice to play the Joker. Even I remember John DiMaggio, when he did it for Under the Red Hood, he got so much crap from DC fans and Batman animated fans because they didn't like his version of the Joker, because it wasn't Mark Hamill's version of the Joker. And subsequently, we've seen numerous versions of the Joker that aren't Mark Hamill in the voiceover world, just like we've seen him live action. Now, it does send possibly a bad message that you're rewarding bad behavior. And it's ironic because Ray Fisher, of course, came out and said like, hey, I didn't appreciate the bad behavior on the set from these producers when I was doing Justice League. So the idea of bringing someone back into the fold who is kind of known for having bad behavior on the set is an interesting decision to be made by Zack Snyder. I like that he's coming back. I like that we're going to get to see his version of the Joker. I hope we're not getting just a cameo. I hope we're getting much more than just a cameo, because that was the biggest reason people had a complaint about his Joker in Suicide Squad. We didn't get a chance to have enough of him. So will we get enough of him where we get a better taste of what this Joker feels like? Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it, to be honest with you.
That's all baloney.
Okay, fair enough.
I say that with love and appreciation, absolutely. Cool. Just because I absolutely agree with you. It definitely takes anyone that's taking on the Joker is in for a lot of problems. Yeah. You know, it's very physically, emotionally, psychologically taxing to take on the characters. Ask any actor that's taken on the role, they say has really had a real impact on them, you know, some positive, some negative, you know, obviously, and unfortunately, you know, one has passed.
Right.
Thing is, that doesn't, and because he's a method actor, he's a great actor. Awesome. That does not justify in the slightest, you know, his behavior on set, you know, and, you know, and I really don't care if it was all method acting. That's what he needed to do to get into the mindset. That is just horrible, toxic behavior to reinforce on set. So that really kind of makes me curious if they're gonna possibly allow this. What are his other demands? He's kind of an interesting guy. He is like low key having a cult in the middle of an island somewhere in like Grand Tahiti or something. Everyone's dressing in white. They're treating it like Coachella. He's looking like Jesus. It's just like a kind of a weird situation he's in. But yeah, DCEU fans really have an interesting. From what I've read online, according to a bunch of different articles, according to the Hollywood Reporter as well as Variety, a lot of them mentioned that the love for Jared Leto's Joker came a little bit later after Suicide Squad. After it kind of found its a little bit of its fandom a little bit later after it was out of theaters. But also something to remember is that just like a month or two ago, at like their version of the virtual, not Comic-Con, but like the DC Comic-Con yes. situation, right. That was the only Joker they didn't acknowledge in the Joker montage. That's true. and that was the one they didn't acknowledge. And a lot of people were like, what the heck? Where's my favorite Joker? And, that was the reason. Where's Jared Leto? And so it's before they didn't acknowledge him, but now I am kind of curious, this is going to be a four-parter film. So I do think that, there is definitely room to include him, but I don't think it means that we should. There's a lot of other potential Batman villains that we can include. Heck, we can include Ivy, Bane, Deadshot. We can focus a little more on Lex Luthor, Solomon Grundy. Oh my gosh, Brainiac. Oh, we can't. Heck, you can go into Darkseid, Cobra, the Queen of Fables. So yeah. Good. But Laird has also mentioned how he hated, a lot of the press and being a part of Suicide Squad after filming the movie, because after he saw it, he's like, am I even part of this movie? And he really disliked being part of it. So again, when he, in order to be brought back into this film miniseries, essentially, they must have had to not only pull a lot of strings, but they must have been like, hey, what do you want in order to come over to your thing? And he's like, I want everything. I want to be in full control. And I do not want him to be in full control. So it's definitely a weird situation that would require him to be comfortable enough to come back on set and promote this movie that he hated being a part of, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things you touched on here, let's flesh them out a little bit more. Adam Beach, when he was being interviewed, who was like, 5 minutes of the movie, a Slipknot, he said in an interview, he sent, and that Jared Leto being the he sent Margot Robbie a nice love letter with a black box with a rat in it, a live rat. Mm-hmm. And then he sent bullets to Will Smith with a letter. The cast also received a video and a dead hog. And basically what he said was, guys, I can't be there, but I want you to know I'm doing my work as hard as you guys. And the video he showed is in character. It blew our minds away. Then we realized that day, this is real. So maybe him sending this stuff was just his way of being playful with the cast. And it sounds like it might have hit the wrong note or might have like not been that well received from people overall. So maybe that's not the biggest thing, the smartest avenue he could have explored or he could have taken to do this. So, I mean, I think that people make mistakes sometimes. He thought he was doing his own thing. And of course, there were rumors that he tried to get Todd Phillips's Joker crushed as well when he heard about it. Mm-hmm. Apparently, according to the Hollywood Reporter, he went and complained to his agents at CAA and also asked his music manager, Irving Azoff, to call the leader of Warren's parent company to complain about this, to try to get the Warners Warner Brothers rather, to kill the Todd Phillips Joker movie. And I kind of get that, because you're like, I haven't got a chance to do it. Let me do it. Let me do a solo Joker movie. Because remember, they were talking about a Joker Harley Quinn movie. And of course, the beginning of Birds of Prey begins in essence with Harley Quinn bashing the Joker, bashing Jared Leto's Joker, breaking up, him breaking up with her, but her kind of getting upset about it and driving that truck and Axis chemicals. And the whole movie's about her getting past this relationship that she had with the Joker. So at times, Jared Leto has been the brunt and the butt of the jokes of a lot of people complaining about his version of the Joker. So Zack Snyder understands that. Zack Snyder's been there. Certainly Zack Snyder's taken a lot of shit from critics, from pundits, from fans about his version of DC, his version of his version of Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman in his films that he was able to do. And, you know, a lot of people, there's a number of people who don't like Man of Steel, even though there's a number of us who love it. There's a number mm-hmm. of people who don't like Batman v Superman. Like, I don't like it, either the director's cut or the regular cut, but there are mm-hmm. people who do like it. So I think Zack Snyder understands that, and bringing Jared Leto in to give him a chance to do a better job in a better situation might work out better for everyone.
Lines were crossed. I that's the thing. I'm sorry. That in no world is that okay. That behavior is just not okay. Yeah. I don't care if he apologized. It's just like, even if you did apologize, you said a dead hog potentially to my trailer. You said a dead rat or a live rat, whatever. That's never okay. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you sent me an apology letter. Okay, that's fine. You apologize. That's fine. But that doesn't take away the fact that you did something absolutely wretched, and you thought for a minute that's a cool thing to do. You know, it's not a healthy environment. It's not a healthy environment, especially when, like I said, this movie is going through a lot of problems. There's a lot of PR issues. There's Jeff Johns is leaving, Ray Fisher. We don't know what's going on with Ray Fisher right now, obviously. There's a lot going on PR-wise that they're actively trying to fix. Yeah. And a character like him that is purposefully a very toxic character, obviously, I get that. There's so much untapped potential with his character. But do we really need it in this movie in particular? What if that's the case? Why not have our actual official mad love movie? I would actually locate love that to happen. Sure, he's not I think he's incredibly toxic, actor, behind the scenes and everything. But you know what? I'm not on the set. Maybe him and Margot Robbie did have a nice little hug and be like, yeah, totally cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away the fact what he did. But also I do think that if he was going to be more involved in this movie, I do think that they might have to change around quite a bit of the plot, as well, because obviously we don't, Joker's not even in Justice League, even a smidgen. at all. So I am kind of curious. It's like, it's not even an after credit scene or anything like that. So I'm kind of curious if they're going to go back and do a lot of reshoots potentially. Like, what are they doing in order to, because I know they were already doing reshoots for this before. We didn't know just the extent of it, obviously. But I feel like if they're going to be doing more reshoots to kind of add on to his potential character or his storyline, whatever it might be, that's, they're going to have to do some potential rewriting. They're probably going to have to push the release date. Mm-hmm. It's just getting more and more pricey. They haven't announced
the release date yet, so I don't even know.
They said it's going to be in March.
They said next year, but they didn't know. That was the rumor that someone leaked it was going to be in March, but then they never confirmed it. But yeah.
Okay, I stand corrected on that. Absolutely. You're right. So it's definitely, there's a lot of things that are changing. It just gets more and more expensive by the day.
Another thing to think about here, and this is something that may bolster your case a little bit, Alex, is that in 2018, if you remember, Dylan Sprouse kind of called out Jared Leto and he actually tagged him on Twitter and said, yo, at Jared Leto, now that you've slid into the DMs of every female model age 18 to 25, what would you say your success rate is? Obviously taking a shot at him. And then James Gunn, of all people, chimed in and said, he starts at 18 on the internet. So it basically implying that he has had, or there's been a history or of him possibly, kind of hitting on underage women. I'm not saying that that's happened. I have no evidence of that happening. I'm saying this is what these tweets kind of implied. And of course, there were accusations of him grabbing a stripper's neck back in 2014. And in 2015, there was an article that compared Jared Leto to Bill Cosby, talking about how pushy he was, coercing people to do certain things. And we don't know the validity of some of, obviously, of this stuff, because none of us were there, but these are accusations that have dogged him. And of course, people came back at James Gunn and said, wait a minute, You got a problem with this, but you had no problem with Bryan Singer trying to woo underage teenage boys. You got no problem with that, which kind of shut him up a little bit. And of course, James Gunn went through his own thing over the last couple of years and still came out the other side to be directing The Suicide Squad. So this is, there's a lot of things here with Leto that in the past, in the last 5 years, you can argue are kind of troublesome and kind of unsettling. And of course, there have been a lot of people saying that, you know, he'll never do it again. He'll never play Joker again. But of course, that's different now. Now it's happening. And now it's really going in motion. We don't know how much longer it's going. We don't know how big the role is going to be. But certainly, he's going to be a part of this thing. And even David Ayer, let's not forget, David Ayer has been coming out saying he wants to put out his cut of his Suicide Squad movie, which would likely include more Joker scenes. So maybe this is working in tandem together as well, that maybe this Ayer cut is going to come out sometime sooner than this Zack Snyder Justice League, and both of them are going to kind of work in conjunction to bring back Jared Leto's version of the Joker, or flesh it out, or give him more opportunity to be fully judged or appreciated or criticized for his interpretation of the Joker, with much more information to base it on.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a weird situation. Absolutely. There's a lot of players that are involved. As we kind of open the box, it feels a little bit more like Pandora's box, essentially. Yeah, you know, once we talk about Leto, you know, there's suddenly James Gunn is in there, Dylan Sprouse, you know, there's random strippers being involved, people are being choked. You know, there's a lot of players involved, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like that whole Breyer thing, that's a whole conversation right there. You know, absolutely. But the thing is, it's a very toxic environment. You know, that's my point. You know, his relationship with models, whatever, if they're legal, that's his prerogative. You know, that's all.
Consensual and all
you know,
that. Yeah,
it's, as long as it's legal, it's consensual, you know, good for him. You know, that's all to say. Good for you. Good for you. Okay. Like him and Leo must be like hanging out, being beds with their model girlfriends. Cool. There's nothing wrong with that. They're legal and they're of age. I mean, so it's whatever. So, I mean, overall, you know, it's just, you know, it's a very difficult situation, you know, that they definitely are going to have to do a lot of troubleshooting on sets for, you know, so I am very curious if, you know, if they're, heck, maybe some of these accusations hypothetically could be exaggerated. You know, some of them are confirmed, some of them are rumors, you know, we have to say. And some of them are kind of like mentioned that they're more cover-ups. Like I know several people, you know, that have interviewed Jared Leto personally that have mentioned he is a horrible person. But you know, it's just like, it's a case by case basis. And I know also know some people have said he's an amazing person. He's all about a bag of chips. So overall, you know, I am really kind of curious what the conversation was that was pitched to him, where Jared Leto thought, I am feeling welcomed enough to come back to Justice League. Yeah. And not to mention, this is also a movie. Like I said, there was no scenes, cutscenes or anything that he was involved with. What is a storyline for him to be involved? Because it's, you know, sure it is.
Great point.
Superman, he was dead for a part of like a quarter or maybe half of Justice League.
Yeah, half of
it. And but thing is, like, during that time there was a lot more emphasis on Batman kind of taking over that leadership role, obviously. So I wonder if that's the case, maybe it's going to be a little bit more emphasis on Joker during that time when Batman's in the leadership role. But there's so many other villains.
There are, but
there's not so many other villains.
There are, but I think when he's doing this, he just wants to slide someone into that already has name recognition and brand recognition. And of course, you say Joker and people go, you know. And I mean, I don't think if you say Mr. Freeze, people go, or Brainiac or any of these other ones you
Ivy
mentioned. Yeah.
Kidding me?
Oh, if you're going to bring the animated one from freaking Harley Quinn, yes. But
are
not
you
the, not
kidding
the,
me?
Not the Uma Thurman one. That was terrible. So you'd have to start over from scratch with a new actress, a new situation.
Mm, yes.
And I think what Zack Snyder is trying to do is like, this is already pre-done. Let me just bring that character in real quick so I don't have to take any time fleshing out their story or their history. I'm just going to shove them into this situation. I think that's the reason why. But outside of that, I 1,000% agree with you, Alex. I think as we go forward with the Batman and wondering what Pattinson and the trilogy, if there's a trilogy that Matt Reeves is working on, I would love to see Ivy. I'd love to see all these other characters that you've met, Solomon Grundy, Brainiac. That'd be great to see throughout that situation there on the Batman. But on this, this makes sense. Now, I know it's not the greatest thing, obviously, because there's some troublesome antics here, but this makes sense for me personally. But I understand if it's not your cup of tea, though, totally.
Well, that's the thing. We have had a fantastic, you know, we have already had an Oscar-winning Joker movie. I feel kind of done a little bit, at least for a little while, with the Joker character. Let the Joker character take a breather and then have him come back. If this was like, give it another year or two, and then I could feel a little bit better about having another Joker movie. But our Batman movies have been Joker-focused that it's just like, we have so many other options. But they're just like, nah, bruh, Joker clearly makes money, you know, and I feel like it's almost lazy, you know, lazy filmmaking, honestly, just to be like, well, we already know people like it, I guess. So let's just bring that dude back in. You know, it feels lazy that they don't want to explore another amazing, you know, potential villainous character.
I see your point. Absolutely. Totally respect that. All right. So, guys, there's over 200 of y'all watching us like right now, but there's only 77 likes. Let's get those likes up there. Hit that thumbs up button. Move that mouse over there. Hit that thumbs up button. Give us a like. Get us over 200 likes as quickly as possible. If you're watching this later and you notice that it isn't over 200 likes, hit a like yourself and get us over 200 likes and leave a comment down below as well. So many of you watched this show after we do it live. So please leave a comment, leave a like. Also, Cat's Paw, you're kind of pissing me off and I'm about to block you. You've already moved off two people who have come here every day to watch this show that we do the show. So you cut your antics out. I'm going to block you here in about 10 seconds if you don't calm your ass down. And I'm not joking. This is my show. This is our show. And I don't appreciate people coming in who are new causing bullshit in the chat. We understand each other. I will block you immediately if I see another one of your derogatory asshole comments in this chat. Just want to make it clear to you. All right, let's move on to some Streamlabs here real quick. Doug, the developer, said, is there a film that makes you emotional because the character reminds you of your parents when they were younger? For me, it's Rocky, because my dad was also very poor, was given his shot. It was hard to understand his English, and both were born in 1946. Wow. What about you, Alex? Is there a film that makes you emotional that the character reminds you of your parents when they were younger?
Yeah, absolutely. Call Me by Your Name, would I have to say?
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. My character? Well, both of them, honestly, I feel like everyone has had, you know, a first love, especially, you know, when they're in high school, college, whatever the situation is, or maybe even beyond that, you know, and, you know, sometimes it's the first one or if it's later, whatever it may be. But, you know, I remember my parents having, you know, a very similar conversation with me, you know, when I was younger, you know, it's similar to what Elio has with his dad, and you know, and he's just like like trying to deal with it, and I was like, oh, dad, I love you so much. I just want to tell you how much I love you and happy Father's Day. You know, so that's the movie where I see that and I'm like, they don't look like my dad, like my parents at all, but yeah, they definitely they remind me of my parents.
Yeah, for me, it has to be Star Trek, any of the original Star Trek movies with Shatner, specifically Khan Generations even, Generations, really, that's the one. I mean, I think Shatner got older, he reminded me so much of my dad, there's just a vibe that men of that age from that generation radiate, you know. And so when he dies in Generations, I cry every time because it reminds me of my own father who passed away, and it just breaks me, man, every single time. The way he speaks, the way he's handling things, the way he realizes he has a duty to do the right thing, even though it may not be the easiest thing, that has always been the thing that drives Captain Kirk, and that's always been my dad. didn't always enjoy doing the right thing because it was tough. And sometimes people, turned away from him. Sometimes people stopped being friends with him, but he knew what the right thing to do was. And I always admired that about him, it wasn't always easy for him. And so, but and this is why my compass goes in the direction that it does, whether it's right or wrong. I sense what I think is right and I do that. And he taught me that. And so when I see it in William Shatner, when I see it in Captain Kirk, it's incredible to watch. So I always get real emotional whenever I watch many of those shows, because I saw my dad, progress from that middle-aged Kirk that we see in Khan to the Kirk at the end in Generations. All through those movies, there's shades of my father in the number of those scenes. So for me, it's more about a string of movies and a character than necessarily a movie that reminds me of my dad 1,000%. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say. All right. And great question, Doug Developer. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Our next one, is from Ben Rayner. He said, I don't understand the purpose of Leto coming back. At first, I didn't mind him, but then after time, I didn't like him that much at all. I don't blame acting, just didn't work for me. I just hope this doesn't mean we're getting more of him outside of the Snyder Cut. Yeah, what's your thoughts on that, Alex?
I would honestly prefer that. Like I said, I definitely think it's too soon after an already a solo Joker movie to bring a not very popular Joker back.
Yeah.
If they're going to bring a Joker back, why aren't you bringing in Arthur Fleck? So just putting that out there. Yeah. He said he's okay with coming back. Just putting that out there.
You said it.
Come on. Yeah, so I mean, if we're gonna get that version of the Joker, I would have loved to see, very excited to see a like Mad Love, movie or anything along those lines. Joker being pissed at Harley after she blew up his factory, essentially. Right. There's a lot you can really dive into that. But I feel like that should be its own standalone thing. I don't want it to be the Joker Batman Justice League show. I want it to be just the Harley Quinn Joker show, and so I would want it to be its own project.
I agree. I think this is just going to be for Zack Snyder's show. This is all everybody getting a final shot at these characters under Zack Snyder's guidance, right? We're gonna get Ben Affleck as Batman one more time. We're gonna get Henry Cavill as Superman, at least some of the edited stuff, one more time. He's made it clear that he's not coming back to do any reshoots. We're gonna get more of Ray Fisher as Cyborg. We're gonna get more of Amber Heard as Mara. We're going to get this Justice League, this Joker with Jared Leto. So everyone's going to get a chance to do their character one more time. And I think they're going to close the book on a majority of them. And another thing to think about, which I forgot to mention here, Geoff Johns and John Berg, who were two of the three people, including Joss Whedon, who were the focal point of Ray Fisher's complaints over the last few months about the way he was treated on Justice League with the reshoots, have quietly removed their names off the producer credits for this Zack Snyder's Justice League. Of course, they're claiming, well, we want to let Zack Snyder have all the credit for this, which is, of course, horseshit. And they're all claiming that it's not to do with Ray Fisher's lawsuit, which is, again, horseshit. It absolutely has to do with Ray Fisher's lawsuit. The fact that they quietly moved them off tells you everything you need to know. And I don't know a producer in this town worth their salt who willingly takes their name off a project that they shepherded twice to try to get to fruition and lose out on the money of it. I don't know any producer in town with half a brain who would ever do that. So clearly this is a Warner Brothers decision to kind of curtail the stuff that Ray Fisher has been talking about and make sure it's a more healthy set.
I have to ask, would they both be canon?
What do you mean, canon?
Would both, we're referring to like the DCEU and everything. Yeah, yeah. I was talking with Lucas about tonight, and he was asking, well, which one technically would be canon? And I'm like, I don't know, both maybe. And he was like, well, if this new one is gonna be like how they're gonna be moving forward with the DCEU, they're gonna be using this version that's available through HBO. Awesome, cool. Yeah. All right, but does that mean the original plans that they had, all the original plans they had with the original Justice League, does that make that obsolete essentially? Is that gonna be not canon?
Or are they gonna be canon? That's a good point. No, I think that Justice League is going to be canon. I think this Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, is like a Elseworlds thing. Kind of like that Arthur Fleck.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of like that Arthur Fleck Joker thing where it was like, that's not tied up in anything. Now, if they connect that Joker back into the Batman later on, That's certainly possible. Certainly from the vibe we saw from the trailer of the Batman and the vibe of that Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, those two seem to fit. So that's a possibility down the road. But I think the one that they're doing now is just to kind of wrap up Snyder's version of it and move on from it. But I don't know. There's certainly, I mean, we've certainly felt one way about it. And then Warner Brothers makes a completely different decision like they did with this Joker situation with Jared Leto and go into a different direction. So it's certainly possible that we could get that being part of canon as well. What if Green Lantern shows up in this Zack Snyder Justice League? Does that Green Lantern all of a sudden become a possible entry into the overall main canon of the DCU? I don't know. I don't know. All those things are in the air for right now, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, all right, now let's move on to our next thing and our next story real quick, and that's the Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're getting this from my man Vinny Mancuso over there, you know, Schmodown competitor, talking about this. He wrote an article about this covering Derek Kolstad, who is the writer on the Falcon and Winter and the Winter Soldier, which we've been waiting on for quite some time, obviously with the delays with COVID and everything like that. But he was on the Script Apart podcast, and talking about this series, he mentioned talking about other characters that are coming into, lesser-known characters that are coming into this Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So it isn't just about them and about how they might connect up into the overall MCU. There's actually other characters that are going to be jumping into this thing as well. He said, quote, and this is, once again, this is Derek Kolstad, the writer for the Falcon and Winter Soldier. He says, the show is going to be fucking cool. I'm very proud of and honored by what it came to be. Here's what I'll say. Growing up, everyone would give someone like Batman, like Robin shit, but Robin's pretty badass and became pretty badass in the comics. Taking secondary characters and putting them in the primary roles, and they're cooler, they're more interesting, there's more humanity, more longing, more suffering, and coming to grips with who and what they are. What I will say is that there are characters from the earliest Marvel movies that are coming back. We're layering them in and reinventing them in a way that's going to shift the storytelling structure. It's fucking awesome. So Vinny speculated, and in a very funny article, speculated that could we see Trevor Slattery coming back, which is Ben Kingsley's actor character from Iron Man 3. You know, could we see the Howling Commandos come back, which is my choice, and Neil McDonough needing way more screen time than he got in that Captain America First Avenger movie. And could we see, and then he goes, could we see the one guy who got caught playing Galaga in the Avengers, or Galaga, however you say it? That would be very funny. So certainly we're getting Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. We're also going to get Daniel Brühl back for sure. And so this is, who would you want to see, Alex, or are you excited by any of these choices here that Vinny proposed in this article about Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I honestly, my first thought when I read the article is like, a lot of the characters that he picked are like characters that I actually really enjoy.
Yeah.
I would actually like Ben Kingsley's character. There's a lot to dive into with his character. Yeah. Okay, with the Mandalorian. The Mandarin.
Yeah, the Mandarin. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the Mandarin, Mandalorian, Mandarin, tomato. You know what I'm talking about, guys. You know what I'm talking about.
That's a crossover.
Star Wars, MCU, same difference, right?
Right.
Just kidding. So, I mean, I definitely think this is all fantastic. And you're not kidding. Neil McDonough, he's so fantastic. He is by far, he's one of my favorite, like low-key, one of my favorite parts of First Avenger. And he did not get nearly enough screen time. So, I would love to see that, you know, really be expanded on potentially.
Yeah, me too. I would love to see, I mean, that's my choice, the Howling Commandos. That would be, because I mean, they're such a big part of the Captain America story. I think they had their own series for a while in the comics for a long time. So like getting them to come back and be a part, of course, these actors are all a little bit older than when they shot First Avenger, which I think is what, 2010? Maybe something like that when First Avenger came out. So, you know, they're all a little bit, Neil McDonough is a little bit older, Derek Luke, all these really good character actors are a little bit older now. So I don't know if they'd come back or what version of them that would come back, or would they de-age them? I don't know. You know, so
stunt doubles, my dude. Stunt doubles.
Yeah, but there's still going to be a close-up on the face. So we'll see.
They're a beautiful group of people. Let me just point that out. They could 100% pull it off.
Okay. All right. I like this idea. Justin Hammer coming back could be very, very interesting. The Sam Rockwell, Justin Hammer. I'd be down with that as well. Yes. And some people mentioning Emily Van Camp's Sharon Carter / Agent 13. Yeah. I could see that absolutely coming back.
MK Somberg, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Justin Turner says, I'm a newcomer, big fan of the show. Oh, Jalen Turner. Sorry. I'm a newcomer, big fan of the show and what y'all have been doing and a big fan of the Outlaw as far as these Marvel shows. I'm super excited for this one, but I'm dying to see where Loki went. Right. We haven't seen Loki and his contribution to all of this, but certainly I think they're keeping a Loki. I think they're keeping Loki low-key in how they're going to bring him into this whole situation, because apparently he's going to be appearing in or touching or be a part of or in some way connected to all of these series. Loki is going to somehow be a part of WandaVision, a part of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and the other ones that they've got coming out. He's going to be a part of this thing. So I think that's why they're keeping everything down on Loki, because they don't want to reveal anything. If they show anything, it'll immediately give away too much. So I think that's why you're not seeing too much with Loki. So I'm excited about that for sure. What about you?
I'm kind of done with Loki personally. I feel so bad. Thing is, I love Loki. I do. This is kind of similar with the Joker character overall. Loki, we've just had so much. He's not a villain anymore. He's a hero. He's an anti-hero. Let's be honest, guys. Yeah. He's definitely a character. I love Tom Hiddleston in the role. It's probably one of the best castings in the MCU, arguably. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm kind of done with it. He's been involved in so many movies, MCU movies, just by popular demand, essentially, you know, and I kind of feel like we don't really need him anymore.
Okay.
So we're getting a TV series, but I'm like, I don't need it, but whatever.
Oh, we're getting a TV series. That's for sure. Yeah.
There's been a teaser. There's been a teaser. It's happened. It's happened.
True. Very true. Someone said granddad joke right there. It wasn't a granddad joke. I was saying.
I loved it. I really loved it.
That's all I'm saying. You're keeping it LK. But I appreciate a lot of people saying, I like Jalen Turner's like, you lost me there. Sorry, Jalen. But yeah, there's a number of characters and actors from the earlier Marvel films. They don't necessarily have to be Captain America related to come back. So, that's exciting. That it's a number of things that could happen here. And someone mentioned in the chat, it won't be the actual Howling Commandos, because of course those guys are in the 40s, but this could be the granddaughters and the grandsons of those Howling Commandos maybe coming together to be a new team in the present day. That could be fun. I'd be down with that and seeing how that pushes through. So we shall see. Xeno Hour agrees with you. Loki is not a top 5 MCU villain. He's not even the top 15. Wow. Hold the phone.
Okay. Hold on, Xeno Hour. I respect that. Absolutely. I respect anyone. Anyone has favorite, least favorite. He's definitely a top villain, just because that's the thing that MCU cannot do. They can't do villains worth heck. We all know that, right, Roko?
Yeah,
true. MCU, that's one thing they can't do really effectively is villains, because they're all about the good guys. Yeah. Understandably. But if they're going to dive into top villains, Loki is definitely in the top 5.
Sure. I'm down with that. I'm just saying. I agree with you. I think it goes Killmonger, and then everything else kind of stumbles after that. Everything comes after that. Mm.
True. Killmonger. Is he a villain? Is he? That's also arguable as well. Why did he have to die?
I shot his girlfriend straight up, you know? So, yeah, I would say he's a pretty much villain. I would say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you saying that all villains can't be redeemed?
I don't know. Are you saying Jared Leto can't be redeemed? It sounded like you were saying Jared Leto can't be redeemed.
He's a villain. No, his character can be redeemed. Do we want a good guy Joker? No. But Jared Leto is a real person. He's not a character. No, but he's an actual person, you know. Yeah. He's like a person, you know, outside of movies. So that's the whole thing. But overall, I don't think we can compare the two.
We got 121 likes is wrapping up here. Please give us a like here. Get us above the 150 likes at least before we wrap up in the next 5 minutes. So I need 29 of you all to hit that thumbs up button who are watching right now who haven't hit the thumbs up button. We've got, almost 200 y'all watching us still right now. So please give us a like here as we wrap up here. Dodger Ryan 124 says, hi, John and Alex. What do you think of a Valkyrie prequel series with Tessa Thompson? Yes. 1,000% yes. I love Tessa Thompson. Go ahead.
No.
Why? We had a problem with Tessa Thompson?
No. I want a sequel. Dude, I want a sequel with Valkyrie. I want her own like franchise. Okay. Mm. She doesn't need the MCU. The MCU needs her. Okay. She can like spawn her own Star Wars situation. I am not gonna comment down.
Nobody went to see Man in Black. She hasn't shown that she can carry a movie by herself. What are you talking
about? I'm talking about Valkyrie. You keep mixing up with the people. I'm talking about Valkyrie. I'm not talking about Tessa Thompson. Yeah, sure. You know, that's like a whole conversation whether or not she can actually carry a franchise. Yeah. But right. You know, Valkyrie itself, I think that character alone could 100% be a solo movie. It could be a whole thing. You can have like, I know they talked about how they wanted to do like a Charlie's Angel situation, but like Valkyrie, WandaVision.
Oh yeah, the A-Force.
A-Force situation. I know they talked about how they want to do that. I don't know if that's, you know, how along the lines that is, but I am totally down for that. I just want more Valkyrie and everything. I want Valkyrie to be the Deadpool of the MCU. Just like casually like hanging out in the background, just being like, hey guys, I can do better. Walk away. Yeah. I would have killed this villain like 2 hours ago, but whatever.
I get your point. I'd love to see a Valkyrie prequel if it's about all the Valkyrie. Then I'd like to see that because, of course, she had a relationship. She had if you do the prequel all the way to the point where Hela comes back, that makes sense to me. That would be fun to see the inner workings of the Valkyrie, and then it ends with them hearing Hela is coming, kind of like Apocalypto ended with them seeing the ships coming from Spain to essentially kill the Native Americans. So, yeah, I'd be down with that, or from England, wherever they were coming from at the end of the movie there. So, all right, one last Streamlab here from Culture Turax. Says, just wanted to say hi. As for the other day, watch SEN Borat 2 episode about 1 hour and 27 minutes. Anyhow, just over a week till The Mandalorian. Can't wait. Be safe, all. Now, thank you, Kaltor. Pretty kind of you. Yes, agreed.
Thank you.
Be safe. And yes, watch us yesterday on that Borat episode on SE, and that was some funny stuff here in Christian's version of Rudy Giuliani and all of that. Very funny stuff. And of course, join them in about 15 minutes. They're going to go live in 15 minutes for that. Oh, Brian Brawler says, what do you think about Dum Dum Dugan being an LMD and the rest being the relatives of the rest of the Howling Commandos? Okay.
What's LMD?
Maybe lead Mad Dog? Is that right, LMD? I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. LMD, a life model decoy. So a fictional android appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. Oh, so it would be an android. Okay, you know what? I'd be cool with that. Actually, a way to avoid doing any of the de-aging stuff is to make him an android, and he is in charge of them. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be cool. Yeah, Brian Brawler, I'm down. Yeah, life model decoy. I would absolutely love that idea. What about you, Alex?
I definitely agree. I also don't think that the actors require anti-aging all that much because they are so attractive. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. They're so pretty.
It's so pretty.
Those icy blues. Yo. Mm. It's pretty. Those icy blues.
He does have some spicy blues. All right, there we go. Let's wrap it up here. And remember, don't forget, SEN Live is at 10 a.m. Going over to hang out with that crew. I will be hosting SEN tomorrow for my birthday. I will be hosting it on my birthday tomorrow. So come and join me there at 10 a.m. PT as well. Alex, what have you got going on? Pitch everything you got rolling in your world.
Next week, we are going to be on Cinema Bites. We're going to be diving into Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So I'm pretty excited. I saw this movie for the very first time this week, or was it last week? I'm not sure what is time. So we're going to be doing that here on Tuesday, and I have a lot of thoughts about the movie. I have a lot of thoughts. So I'm excited to dive into that with Video Drew. It starts at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, every single Tuesday. Also, next Thursday is actually going to be our Halloween episode of Shmoobies. Yeah. So definitely come check it out. It's going to be amazing. We have Warfather that's going to be going up against Adam Witt. So it's going to be a weird episode. It's going to be a fun episode. It's going to be weird AF. I don't, it's going to be funky. But yeah, so definitely come check us out with the Call to Action podcast as well. We're available anywhere podcasts are found. So we'd really appreciate it.
There you go. Yeah, go and follow them there and enjoy everything they got going on, and certainly everything that Alex is going on. But give it a like, give it a watch, all of that, and then follow her on social media for sure. I didn't like being a part of the call to action debate. You don't need to put my match with Adam Collins as one of the best first round matches.
He TKO'd me. Dude.
He TKO'd me, man.
I didn't choose it.
Okay. Was a shot at me, and I'm going to find out who suggested it. I'm going to break their legs. I'm going to
break
their
legs. Ferris chose it.
Of course, Ferris did. Because those sad fucks, I won't be on their Let's Get Ready to Talk podcast.
To me, I'm clearly not the winner, but okay. Yeah,
did he sweep or did he lose?
He swept.
Wow, that's shocking.
Yeah.
Maybe next time I'll take him on and destroy him on a debate. That'd be a lot of fun. Oh. We'll see. Let's see what else I want to say. Oh, yeah. So all the stuff we got going on tomorrow here on the Outlaw Nation channel, just because of my birthday doesn't mean we take a day off. Like I said, SEN Live tomorrow morning, but also at around 4 p.m., I am doing a special Outlaw's Choice watch along for the Strong Style episode. Aaron Turner and I are going to rewatch WrestleMania 25's match of The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. So hang out with us for them 4 to 5 p.m. And then at 5 p.m., if you're a patron of the Outlaw Nation show, I'm doing a special live unboxing of some of the presents that you all sent me already ahead of time. That's going to be a lot of fun. And apparently they've created something for me that they're going to debut on the show as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. Something I have no idea what it is. So it's going to be cool. So if you're a patron of the Outlaw Nation show, you can come and join that. Right above my head is how you become a patron. From the $1 patron to the highest patron, you're allowed to come in and be a part of it. I'm going to put the Zoom information in the Discord very, very soon today. You'll get a chance at that. And, of course, tonight, don't forget, the live watch-along of the presidential debate. Me and Dorina Arellano and assorted guests will be stopping in to watch. It starts at 5:30 p.m. PT. Mm-hmm. To watch that watch along tonight. We've had some great responses from our watch along, so please look for that. Also, The Jedi Way. We just recorded our new episode last night, so I'll be dropping that sometime tomorrow or Saturday. And we are talking about the Mandalorian, the 1 minute teaser that was dropped. And we're also exploring the two new Star Wars books that Pablo Hidalgo has released and Star Wars has released, getting into the trivia and getting into some of the extra canon stuff that they're adding, like the dyad situation between Palpatine, Rey, and Kylo Ren as well. So all of that happening here in the world and hanging out with me tomorrow on my birthday. All right, that's it for me. You guys are fantastic. Make sure you follow me at The Roka Says. Make sure you subscribe to the channel down below. Really appreciate it. That's a great way you can give me a gift. We only got to 133 likes, so sadly we didn't get to that 150, but we got to wrap it up. So if you're watching later, please give it a like so we can get above 200 and leave a comment down below. And make sure you share it on your social media as well. All right, Alex, thanks so much. Let's get out of here. Have yourself a great weekend. And what do we always tell them before we go?
Happy birthday. Oh, thank you. Wear a mask, guys. Even on your birthdays, wear a mask.
Absolutely.